at 102.1 FM. This is WMUK, Music, NPR, Local Arts, and more. And I'm pleased to welcome Fred Tsang, director of the Kalamazoo Children's Chorus, to our Studio A this morning. Welcome, Fred.
Good morning. Thank you.
Your concert is coming up this Sunday, March 17th, on St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
The start time is 3 o'clock, and the place is Chenery Auditorium. And folks can click right now on KalamazooChildrensChorus.org to find out more, or stick around and learn about the concert. Last time we talked, Fred, it was before was it a Christmas concert?
Yes.
I saw that you had a number of concerts in December, including not just in Kalamazoo, but out at the beautiful Riviera Theater in Three Rivers.
And that was a wonderful experience. What a beautiful place to perform.
Absolutely.
Great acoustics, wonderful hall, and great people to work with.
And worth, you know, the 20-minute tour. 20-mile drive.
Yes.
Perfect. So you were pretty happy with those concerts.
We were, and we had a wonderful audience at Chenery for our Christmas concert, right around 900 people. And so that makes us excited when we put that many people in the auditorium.
Anybody would be happy with 900 people showing up to one of your concerts.
Well, it's really, it's so much fun because we have the preparatory choir, which is our entry-level choir, is made of third graders. So they're 7 years old or 8 years old. And they really don't have a grasp about what the space is like in Chenery. And when they walked out on stage and saw all those people sitting out there, their little eyes got huge and they just looked like, oh my gosh.
Did they forget everything that they'd been trained to do?
No, they were troopers. They did just fine. But that just that moment to look, oh my goodness, look at all those people.
Well, don't get used to it.
Right.
You get into high school, you form a rock band, and you'll play to three people.
That's right.
At 2 a.m. But that's a long way away. So you probably let them have their nice Christmas break, and then started them thinking about the spring concert.
We did. We had a few weeks off after Christmas, which was nice because it had been kind of hectic. We had done, as you mentioned, a number of other performances, and then we started back in January, preparing for this prelude to spring. And we're hoping, because I heard birds as I was walking in, I saw robins, and so spring is out just around the corner, and so this concert would be perfect to, if you want to get in the mood for spring.
It may feel chilly and cold out there, but you're right. I saw a huge, huge pack, what do they call it, a kettle of turkey vultures in the circling over the trees over Kalamazoo, and they only come back in spring, so yay for turkey vultures. So a prelude to spring is a perfect title. And what are your goals for the choirs for this concert?
Well, we're exploring spring in all its iterations. The new growth, new life, death, and how transformative spring is in general to all the to the arts. And so that's our goal in this concert.
That's your job to bring all these pieces together. I know that you don't direct every single choir the chorus is an umbrella for many smaller choirs within the organization. So did you pick all the music, or did some of your other conductors program their sections?
All the other directors select the repertoire, but we sit down together and say, how is this going to fit with thematically? And make all that work. So, but their responsibility, they know better what their kids can sing and choirs are capable of doing. So it's something of a collaborative effort, but they really select their own repertoire.
Do you ever have a listening session, or you just listen throughout the year and keep little tunes in mind for the next concert?
I'm a real music geek, and I probably go through 1,000, 1,500 titles a year just looking and seeing what I like. And so I have a gigantic file of single copies of music for that just goes on forever. So I'm constantly on the lookout for new repertoire, as is the rest of our staff.
Wow. I could use some of your library.
You're
here
welcome
at
to
WMUK.
Come and dig in.
Okay. It must be a quite a little trick to write for a certain age group, an age level, knowing what will challenge them, because you can also dumb it down so they don't care about it. And what texts will work and connect with them?
And it's really important. You said the most important thing is the text. And we look really hard to make sure that the things that we sing have meaningful text. You can get away with writing bad music if you have good text. But if you had bad text, I don't care how good the music is, it's still not going to work. So we're very conscious of making sure that the text is appropriate for them. And then we find a melody, like for these little guys, that's singable, but also challenges them. There's an octave leap in there that's kind of tricky to do, to learn how to make that happen in your voice. As we were talking, it's part of the technique that you learn as you go through this process of learning music. And so we look at both the technical challenges and the textural challenges in order to bring together something that's meaningful for the kids.
And I think we've talked about before how naturally in the chorus, some kids start to take on leadership roles and help their friends. And it's an interesting way where you have little guides throughout the choir.
And there are many throughout the five choirs that we have. And it's so much fun to watch. The older kids are so reliant on helping each other. A lot of our rehearsal in the older choirs is given to, peer review. Sopranos, you all work together in your study groups and put that together. Alto, same thing. And we put that all together, and it's remarkable at how much they can help each other and guide each other. And they love that collaborative effort.
Sure. Yeah, unifying the sound. And it's no fun to be embarrassed during a rehearsal and realize none of us are quite up to speed on this part. Mm-hmm. And so I could see where, getting called out on not knowing your part would inspire one to gather your friends and go fix it.
Well, there is that. There are times when you just have to look at them sternly and say, oh, really? That's the best that you can do after you've had this music for 4 weeks? I'm sorry.
There was a few weeks in a row in this rehearsal process, you were saying, where, Father Winter came up and bit the rehearsal process.
Oh, my gosh. My wife, Darlene, at our holiday concert, we were lamenting the fact that we hadn't had any snow. And so she said, let's all wish for some snow. Unfortunately, that's what happened. And we got through January. We had two rehearsals in January. And then for three Tuesdays in February, we were snowed out. So we missed three rehearsals during February. And all the directors going, oh, my gosh, are we going to be ready? Well, we will be just fine. But it was stressful.
Well, you do need that face time together. You can't just sit solo study or practicing your part by yourself is nothing compared to learning how to sing with others and know the space you're singing in as well.
Right, and it's the ensemble, it's the collaborative process that makes singing so much fun.
One of your directors this year, you mentioned, had come up in the choir. And would you talk about her for a moment?
I will. Her name is Taylor Stevens, and she is a remarkable young woman. She sang with us for 4 years when she was in high school, and she attended Constantine High School, and then went on to study music education at Central Michigan University. And she has just finished her last, she's in her process of student teaching right now, and she's student teaching in Portage Public Schools. But she came back to this area, and I said to Taylor, well, since you're here, would you like to take on the responsibility of conducting one of the choirs? I direct two. And I said, why don't you take the bel canto choir? And she was excited about that. That's her great goal. So here we have an alumna who is doing her student teaching and working for the children's chorus. She selected the repertoire, she's rehearsed it, and she will be conducting on the concert on Sunday.
We have a track here of the bel canto choir singing a work called Inscription of Hope. Would you describe that piece?
Yes. This is a text that was, again, we talked about text. Text that was found on the walls of a basement in Cologne, Germany, following World War II. And Z. Randall Stroop, the composer, took this text and created this lovely melody. And here we see the wedding of a beautiful melody and wonderful text.
Thank you.
Inscription of Hope, sung by the Bel Canto Choir of the Kalamazoo Children's Chorus. And if you've just tuned in, my guest is Fred Tsang, who is the leader of this wonderful organization since, how long have you been the...
This is our 31st season.
Right, but you haven't been the...
No.
You don't go back quite that far.
I don't want to go back that far. Gene Fry was our founder. Gene taught in the Kalamazoo Public Schools and was administrating the Kalamazoo Public Schools for a good part of her career. And she recognized a need in the community for a children's chorus. At that time, there were not choirs available to elementary-aged kids in KPS that were that did the kind of repertoire that she thought they should be doing. So she created this organization out of just thin air. And so we've been going for, like I said, 31 years. And I've been involved for about 14. I started out when I subbed for someone who was sick, and then I've just stayed.
Music has always been part of your life, though.
Yeah, it has. It has. We were just talking earlier. Way back ago, on April 3rd, 1977, was the first day that Grassroots was broadcast here at WMUK. And I was part of the four people who put that together, and we began that program. So we were talking about that earlier. The music's been part of my life. I've been singing British and American folk music for a long time, and of course, conducting and doing all that work.
Did you ever go to school for an instrument, or were you singing, or?
My instrument is voice when I was here at Western.
Yeah. Okay.
And piano and that sort of stuff.
How has choral conducting changed and adapted over the last few decades?
Well, I think from the perspective of children's chorus music, there has been a huge explosion of repertoire that's available for these voices, for the treble voices. Back in 1981, when this organization was founded, there were about 400 choirs throughout all of North America, children's choruses. Now there are over 4,000. A market has been established, recognize that you can write really good music. So there's great repertoire out there, and because of that, some of the things, when I started teaching or learning to conduct and do this kind of work, we did things in 3-4 and 4-4 and 6-8 and metered that feels comfortable. Now we're doing things in 7-8 and 5-4 and all these odd, awkward meters. And you have to learn how to conduct that. You have to know and teach how that works. So that's been a challenge over the years as we've grown and had these wonderful new influences, not just in music composed in the United States, but also world music, which is coming to a huge part of what happens in children's choruses.
Well, I hope you have something Irish on this Sunday concert.
We have the Celtic Benediction. So we covered our bases with that. The Bel Canto Choir is going to sing that.
And an Appalachian Carol, which would definitely have a connection.
We're doing a wonderful setting of the Appalachian ballad, Queen Jane. It's the story of Jane Grey and Henry VIII. This ballad came from the Galapagos of the United States, Appalachia, where because of the isolation that those communities found themselves in, so much of the music never changed from, you know, the 18th century. It just stayed there. And this ballad of Queen Jane talks about ostensibly the first cesarean section ever done in order to save the child. The people who learned that in Appalachia lost any connection to the history of what this was about. And in fact, that didn't really occur. But this song is so melancholy and so so fraught with emotion that it was never allowed to be sung in the home. It had to be sung on the porch or outside, but it was never allowed to be brought into the house because of the text. But it's a beautiful piece, and it fits our spring idea in that there's life and there's loss. And then we follow that up with a piece called Set Me as a Seal. It's a Song of Solomon, for love is stronger than death. And so we've tried to combine this with new life and make that fit.
Looks like this comes from the touring choir portion of the concert, which closes your concert. Mm-hmm. And the touring choir is going on tour very short, well, a few weeks, months away.
Yeah, it's just June. A few months away.
It must seem very soon.
It is. In June, we're heading to Italy and going to spend 10 days there doing 7 concerts while we're there. We're going to be in Rome. And then for 3 days and do a couple of concerts in Rome. Then we're off to Florence and a small town outside of Venice called Mezzavia, which is and this is really the fun part of it, one of our choristers' uncle is the mayor of this town. In fact, the town is so small, Mesavia, that he is the mayor of two towns. They combined because they have one mayor for two towns. So we're going to sing a concert in her ancestral hometown, which is just really exciting for all of us. We're thrilled about that. And then we're going to be able to sing in St. Mark's. We're singing Mass at St. Mark's in Venice. So it's pretty exciting.
I would just faint from being overwhelmed if I was part of this choir.
Well, I'm overwhelmed and I'm going to faint, but I don't think they quite get it yet, what that's going to be like, but it's going to be a wonderful experience.
They have no idea what they're going to see when they walk into St. Mark's.
No.
I mean, with a thousand years of history just about, and some of the greatest composers ever have had their music presented there and worked there, Scarlatti and Monteverdi.
Monteverdi,
holy
right.
Cow.
Trying to find, it's hard to find Monteverdi written for SSAA, and we haven't found it, but I found a few things for some of the composers from St. Mark's. And so, and one antiphonal piece that we're going to do, because that's what you have to do when you go to St. Mark's. So I'm very, very excited about that.
Who gets to be in the touring choir?
Who gets to be in the touring choir? Well, it's by audition. All our choirs are auditioned. It is generally children that are in late middle school through seniors in high school. And we have a mixture of boys and girls. And we have young men who have changing or changed voices who still sing in their alto register or second soprano register, because you can continue to keep that and work that area of your voice into, well, I know men who are, well, we know countertenors, right, and male sopranos. So you can do that.
And how do you cover the not inconsiderable expenses of taking a tour of Italy with a choir?
Well, we do fundraising. We have and kids are doing odd jobs, and returnable can drives in neighborhoods where the kids have gone from house to house saying, "I'm going to Italy. If you just leave your cans out here, I'll take care of them." And they're making a lot of money doing that. Just kind of remarkable. One young lady bought a whole bunch of pink flamingos and rented them out for people's lawns. And she did a great job until people stole them.
it was a good effort.
Yeah, but it worked.
Will this Sunday's concert help in the effort to fundraise?
No.
Unless people leave something additional.
Well, yes, but if you come to our concert, and it's going to be wonderful, and if you decide to purchase a copy of our new CD, Sing On, or our KCC cookbook, the funds from that will go toward helping to defray some of the cost.
Well, we've been listening to selections from Sing On this whole hour, by the way. I don't think I specified that. Celebrating 30 years of the Kalamazoo Children's Chorus, and it's beautifully recorded in the wonderful space, the Holy Family Chapel.
Oh, what a beautiful place. And the Kalamazoo Singers just had a concert out there I think it was last weekend. And what a beautiful place to sing.
Mm-hmm. Let's listen to another selection. We've heard the treble choir and bel canto and the touring choir, and there's also preparatory choir, mm-hmm, and the concert choir. So
yes,
your choice.
Well, let's see here.
There's a lot to choose from.
Right, there's a lot to choose from. Let's listen to the preparatory choir singing I Bought Me a Cat.
Okay.
That's...
Well, that was a fun little number you had there, Fred. I Bought Me a Cat.
I Bought Me a Cat, and they got to make all those fun noises, and they really enjoyed that part.
Absolutely. Probably the younger boys really get into that.
Boys get into that. They do.
For sure. That was funny, because when you listen to the recordings, you hear treble voices and higher voices, and I sort of forgotten that it's actually mixed and it's not just girl voices.
No, it's not. And we have quite a few boys that sing with us, and And the great thing about that is that there seems to be a cultural issue, a gender issue, when it comes to boys singing in head voice, in that child's voice. I don't know if it's our society that says this is not what men do, but there comes a point in time where young boys decide that they have to sound like basses or baritones, but not in that lovely child voice. And it can sometimes be a struggle to let them know that it's okay to use both voices. You mm-hmm. can have both and have fun in both ways. And so we don't have to fight that quite so much in the culture of the children's chorus, but in schools, public schools, it's really an issue.
That's odd, because I can think of some very famous performers, like Justin Timberlake or Bruno Mars, who can really use the top end of their voices all as much as they want, and they do, and they sound like they're sexy anyway, you know.
Right. Well, then, and that's part of it. I think when you get to be a pre-adolescent or adolescent boy, it's all about, you know, the change in your life and what your friends think, and so that peer pressure can really be a detriment to that continuing that kind of singing.
Well, it's all about good singing, no matter where the range is.
Right.
Well, Fred, let's get back to your concert again. It's for our listeners who tuned in just now. It's 3:00 on Sunday in Chenery Auditorium, which has been home to most of your concerts.
Yes, that's our home performance space, and we love singing in that space. It's just a beautiful place.
When you're not performing there, where do you tend to meet up and work on your music?
We rehearse at the Millwood United Methodist Church, and they so graciously invited us to come and use their space, and we do that. We even have our office there, and we have a place for storage for our music and our new set of choral risers, which arrive, we have stored there. So on Tuesday nights, there are some 200 kids that flood into this church and rehearse from 5 until about 8:00. They usually rehearse for just an hour and a half, but they overlap. And then out they go again, and so there's a whirlwind of children, and we're done.
What do parents say after their kids have joined the choir and they've been training in music for a little while?
It's interesting. When we have first-time parents who come to us, and certainly the preparatory choir is an example of that, they don't quite know usually what to expect or what it's going to be like. And so they really have to wait until the first concert, which is at Christmas time, to hear their children sing. And then it's a revelation. And it's so wonderful to hear them say things like, "I just never imagined it could sound like that," or it's a level above what their expectation, or maybe two, might have been.
And it must be exciting for a parent to see their child getting very excited about a performance and being part of something like that.
I think so, and we have wonderful parents who support the organization and help in so many different ways. We have a parent guild that helps us with mundane details such as taking attendance and stuffing attendance folders with information and setting up social activities for the kids, because it's not all just about rehearsal but about making friendships and having the opportunity to interact like that, and who provide coffee, and we have parent meetings that are chaired by them. They just do a tremendous amount of work on behalf of the organization, because I think they see the value of it, and they see their children loving what they're doing.
Have you ever had parents see how much fun their kid was having and then go out and try to and join one of the other community grown-up choirs?
We have a number of parents who do participate in other community choirs, and that's wonderful. What a great role model for their children. There are a number of people who sing with the Kalamazoo Singers. The parents sing with the Kalamazoo Singers, and their children are singing with us, or they sing in their church choirs. And so there's a lot of family involvement in singing, which I think is just fabulous.
Oh, and I'm really not surprised to hear that does happen. And I imagine the Parents Guild is a strong source for your fabulous recipes in the cookbook that you have.
Oh, boy, yes. And we did put out a cookbook, and there's all kinds of wonderful things in there. And let's try this. And so we came in with about, I think, 588 recipes for the cookbook. Typing them was interesting, but other than that...
No, it's chock full of fun recipes that do look like cherished favorites from different family backgrounds, right, and everything.
And yeah. It's a nice, diverse cookbook.
Well, the Kalamazoo Children's Chorus, the Prep Choir, preparatory for the full word, Treble Choir, Concert Choir, Bel Canto Choir, and Touring Choir are all performing this Sunday at 3:00 in Chenery Auditorium. Let's have another little break, and it's flown my mind which choir we're going to listen to next.
To the Treble Choir.
The Treble Choir.
We call them the Treble Choir because they're just, you know.
And but, is this a spiritual?
Yes, Elijah and Joshua.
Kalamazoo Children's Chorus and a tune called Elijah and Joshua from the Treble Choir. This is WMUK 102.1 FM, and Fred Sang is my guest. He is leading two of the choirs this Sunday in the Prelude to Spring Concert by the Kalamazoo Children's Chorus at Chenery Auditorium at 3:00. Who else is leading choirs in the group?
Well, our preparatory choir director is Betsy Craig. And she has a great knack with those little ones, and they follow around like puppies. Darlene, my wife, directs the treble choir. Jane Pearson conducts the concert choir. She is an absolutely wonderful, wonderful director. And Taylor Stevens, who I mentioned, our alumna, is going to be directing the Bel Canto Choir this Sunday, and I'm going to take care of the touring choir.
The touring choir. That's mm-hmm. right. That's the primo choir heading off to Italy in in June.
Yep.
Very exciting. Well, it's been wonderful having you here this hour. Do you have any final thoughts on this Sunday's concert?
I think it's going to be a wonderful way to spend a Sunday afternoon, in spite of the fact that we have a little snow on the ground. I think by the time people leave, they're going to have spring in their hearts.
And they'll hear those little birds in the trees.
That's right.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm going to finish with one of my favorites from the recording, Sing On, Celebrating 30 Years of the Kalamazoo Children's Chorus. You pointed it out the first time you brought this new recording to us, and it is a stunning, stunning piece of music called Frobisher Bay. Where is Frobisher Bay again?
It's in the Arctic Circle, above the Arctic Circle. And the whalers would often get frozen in trying to get one last whale, and the ships would freeze in the sea, and they'd have to spend the entire winter in the northern latitudes, which is dark all 24/7, and frozen and hoping the ship didn't collapse because of the weight of the ice crushing it.
And this song describes that.
It does.
Well, thank you so much, Fred.
Thank you.